Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, today I am sharing a Dutch author with you with a long track record in the international IT finance world. She likes to intertwine fiction and real life experiences into easily readable, realistic stories. She is Annelies George. Among other works is the fascinating, exciting, apocalyptic Jesse Golden Earth series, 21st Century, inspired by the theory of quantum physics and the increased natural disasters and climate changes occurring around the globe. And I know we've got lots to talk about here, and I don't want to hesitate for another moment, so let's dig into all of this right now. Welcome to the network, Annelies.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for calling us a long way off.
Yeah, I know. That's, if we speak to each other over the phone, it just is like you're next door.
Absolutely. I wish we were, because you are a very fascinating woman. So I'm excited to share you with our listeners today. You know, you are a businesswoman and you took time to care for your father who had terminal cancer and now your mom who has Alzheimer's. Personally, as a 9-year caretaker for my ailing mom, I quit my job to make sure she was safe. So your story resonates with me. And so I'm interested to learn a little bit about your journey just as a backstory, how that affected you and actually still affects you.
Yeah, well, it was, it's interesting you're asking me that, Pat, because, in fact, as you mentioned, I was a businesswoman. I still am. But I was used to the fast life. That means, I was hopping in and out of planes every month because I worked for US companies. I had to, make sure that we meet the targets or even better, over exceeded it. We were busy until 1 o'clock in the morning. I was traveling around chasing deals. And then suddenly everything changed. And usually a change doesn't come alone. So what happened to me was that I was made redundant for the first time in my life because the company was going through a major reorganization. And the region, the European region that I was responsible for was cut in the middle. And because my manager, who was also a Dutch guy, worked longer for the company than me, it was, unfortunately lost in first out. But at the same time, so when I was just digesting what happened to me, because I can tell you when it happens to you the first time, it's a pretty weird thing. My father became ill, and he had fever, and the doctor said, well, you can't leave him alone. And I thought, okay, I'm off for work now, so let's take him into my home. The situation got worse, and then he ended up in the hospital, and they said he had terminal cancer. So you see, it's a little bit amazing. I'm a very rational person, but sometimes I also do believe that things are destined to be, because, to be quite honest, I was now given the time to take care of him. So I cared for him in the last months of his life in my home, also with my mother. They were married at the time for 57 years, and it would really break my heart if the two of them had to be separated due to the illness that my father had. We had other options like putting him in a hospice or putting him in a hospital, but it would have meant that he would have been separated from my mom. So after he died, my mom stayed with me. I had some money still in my saving account, so I decided not to work for a while. But in the end, I thought I have to get back to work again one day, but then a job that is not requiring me to hop into planes all the time and travel around Europe or even to the States on a case-by-case basis. So that year I really used also to find out how I could get back to work, but giving my mom the best care as well. So I found a daycare, and initially I found five women who were, or three women, sorry, who were taking care of her at certain days that she was not in the care facility during the day. So we managed with the four of us for a while that she could still stay here with me. But yeah, unfortunately, her situation changed pretty rapidly. So she's still living with me. I still bring her to bed, and I still preparing her breakfast. But during the day, I take her to a certain facility where she can also sleep if that is necessary. So I think that if I compare myself to you, I decided I had to go back to work because my money was running out, and I couldn't give her the shelter here of my home if I would not be earning money again. But yeah, nevertheless, she's still here with me. She's sleeping here, and in the weekend, she's still here. And yeah, we have to see how long that still is suitable. I can take care of her for quite a while, but at a certain point in time, we also have to see if it's still good for her. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, yeah, we notice that she is just, for her, it doesn't care anymore whether she's with me or there. Mm-hmm. I think the situation will change pretty soon.
Right, right. You know, I listened to your story and I just want to reach out and hug you, because what you're doing is just such a beautiful thing for another human being. I mean, it is your mom, it was your dad, but you know, there's some people that don't do that. And so to hear what you've done, and so many other people that I've talked to are in the same boat as caretakers, and we're not prepared for that. And you cast off everything that you've known to assume this role. It is a blessing in disguise if you take the time to realize that. So I just want to say my hat's off to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I take my hats off to you because you're in the same position as me.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So I know it's affected you as a writer. Let's talk about that. Then we'll get into your book. So how has your caretaker role actually influenced your writing, or has it?
Well, I'm not sure whether it influenced my writing. I think that it gave me the opportunity once I was jobless, and after taking also during the time that I was taking care of my dad, that I had, yeah, I wanted to do also something else. So I was already, I'm not a person that is sleeping a lot. So I only do it like 4 or 5 hours a night. So when my dad was in bed, and we had at a certain point in time also a night nurse, because I couldn't do the days and the nights anymore. For me, it was like just blowing off steam that I was sitting behind my computer and yeah, try to work something out. I must admit that when he was ill, not much came out of it. But when he was gone, I think a week after when he passed away, I suddenly got all the inspiration in the world to start working on the second part. And with my mom, when I was not working and partially taking care of her while she was 3 days in the facility, I wrote, of course, a lot during the day. For me, it was like the ultimate thing to do.
Actually, quite cathartic, I'm sure, too, for
yes.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, let's talk about your first published book. It's titled Quest to the Unknown. It's the first of five in the Jesse Golden 21st Century Earth series. How and why did that first come about?
Well, it actually is a bit of a strange story, because it's there because another book isn't. When I was a businesswoman, I had a PA, and every day I wrote her in my email what I experienced during the day. And there was a lot of laughter with my encounters with the businessmen. And she liked that so much that she said to me, Annelies, you need to write it down. So over the course of 10 years during the evening, I tried to write a book. And when that book was ready, I visited some people that were mentioned in the book, but one I couldn't find. And then it appeared that this person passed away, and that I had to rewrite the book entirely because he was very prominent in the book. So, yeah, I was not pleased, of course, because after 10 years it was there. So after the summer holidays, I met a psychic with a very tough life story. And overnight, it just inspired me to write this series. Because at the same time, and this is just parallel to her telling me her story, I was also, I'm a bit intrigued about what is happening in the world. You see that the living climate is changing, or at least here in the Western world where I'm living, people are becoming very superficial. The violence in the street is increasing. And you also see that the nature disasters or the natural disasters around the globe are increasing as well. And putting all that together overnight, just this story popped up in my head. And within 1 month, I had the plot for the first book on paper. It took me, of course, some months more to write the entire book, but the plot, how it would be structured and where the story would be going, was on paper. And I also knew at that same time what the next four parts would entail.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool that it happened.
Yeah, it was quite some inspiration that I got, because if you compare it to that other book, where it took me 10 years, this book just came out in 1 month.
That, well, you know what? You never know what experiences in the past really lead up to where you are today. It's almost like when you see someone who's an overnight success, you think, wow, how'd he do that? But really, you don't see all of the struggles that went on in the past. So maybe those 10 years of plodding through that other book put you where you needed to be here. So maybe give us a little peek, give us a sneak peek without giving any spoilers. What is this book about?
Well, the first part is about a journalist, a Dutch journalist, who is at the eve of going on holiday with her fiancé. He's a big captain of industry. And then she finds a mysterious manuscript in her apartment. And when she opens the manuscript, she finds two pictures. And immediately, it's from a male and a female. And immediately she's very intrigued, because she finds some notes and she thinks, hey, who are those people? And because she's a journalist, she's going on a quest to discover who these people are and what story is behind them. Along the way, a lot of things are happening, not only with her fiancé and her father-in-law, who she is assuming that he has very close ties with the mafia. And she's going to doing a parallel investigation on that as well. But she discovers that this woman, whose picture she found, actually is a very special person. And that she had a very tough life and, that she experienced some very unusual supernatural things. Along the way, she also discovers that somehow she's also connected to this male. And how everything comes together and evolves, you have to read for yourself in the book. And the series is about a couple of things. I think we all have a quest in life to follow. We don't know what is lying ahead of us, and it's up to us to discover what our path in life is. And that is also a bit what the series is about. But this series is also based on the certain things that I discovered along the way. You mentioned the theory of quantum physics, so the interconnection between energy particles or the collective behavior of humans, that we are adapting behavior of other human beings. And I put that in that book as well, like this journalist, she discovers that she needs to do something to prevent the race of human to disappear from the earth. So she has a very important task, and the theory of quantum physics and the natural disaster and the interconnection of energies between the way we behave and the way the earth is behaving, that also is incorporated in the book. But on the other hand, it's also a story about the friendship between two men and the betrayal about hidden secrets about people that were leading a very bad life and they want to make a change. It's about jealousy, and it's about all the ingredients that we experience as humans in society today.
Mm-hmm. That are contributing toward what you mentioned earlier. I don't know if it's the demise, but just a little bit of crumbling of our societal values. And I want to talk about your next book, the book Darkness and Light. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to read the words that you say inspired you to write the book. You wrote, "What the world looks like today is the aggregation of combined intellectual capacity resulting in a flow of good and bad energy, two needed extremes normally creating a balance in which we can learn and grow. Transformation will only take place when one individual changes his or her way of life. This affects somebody else, who in turn influences yet another one, snowballing in a positive or negative direction. Unfortunately, the ball is rolling in the wrong way, with us getting caught up in the reality of jealousy, greed, power, war, hatred, violence, and sorrow. Darkness is threatening to color our daily lives, and we are still able to turn this destructive trend around before the Earth decides to take its own measures to restore balance in an act of purification of the planet." That is your question. Let's talk about that and then how you incorporated that into the book, Darkness and Light.
What you just mentioned is in fact based on the theory of quantum physics, and I just translated that into the current situation of the Earth. And in part two, basically what you see is that the protagonist of the book, the Dutch journalist, is experiencing, just maybe a little bit like a metaphor, both opposites, so the darkness and the light. So I think we all have some darkness in us, and we cannot see the light if we have not experienced the darkness. And on the other side, the light needs to be able to let darkness see that light is more beautiful. So in the book, the journalist is going to realize that through two experiences that she is going through in the book, which are representing the darkness and the light in human beings. What you read is what I did is, and this is a bit of a fantasy. I basically said that this was some kind of in trance preach that the woman she's looking for in the first book, she appeared to be a psychic, gave once she was in Germany. So I just took that, what you just read, it's just a part of the speech which is reflected in the book, and which the journalist is reading, and then she really starts thinking about this is exactly what is happening, and what could we do about it? To be quite honest, when I reflected on it, when I wrote these words down on paper, I started an initiative called Lovable Light. And in fact, what Lovable Light basically entails is that I just want to make people aware of that beautiful light we have within called love. Due to everything which is happening in society, we seem to have forgotten it. But it's still there. And if you just wake up each day and you look at yourself in the mirror, I know that you cannot preach love the entire day, but you can say to yourself, hey, maybe today I can do something which I haven't done before. And it could be just small things like you're walking in the streets and you greet people, or you're standing in an elevator and you're holding the door open for somebody, to maybe visiting that old person that is living next door, or your old aunt, or helping people, or whatever, just call it. Because I believe that all those little things, if we do that, we have to make a start somewhere. All those little things will add up to something big. And the more positive we think and the more positive things we do, the more positive energy we are creating.
Absolutely. I love this conversation because it is so ripe for what is going on in the whole world. All you have to do is look at social media, and I have to turn it off because just the way people behave when somebody else just simply disagrees with them, and all of the negativity that's out there. And so what you're saying is really very simple and basic and can cause that snowball effect, so that you do something kind and maybe the recipient realizes how good that feels, and then they do something kind, and there it goes rolling in that direction. I mean, it doesn't have to go the negative way. you know, you talk about quantum physics. I think people are afraid of those words because they remember their high school class and they had no clue what was going on. But, but you know, you asked the question, can world peace be enabled by quantum physics? Explain that. So the average person listening, what can we do using the laws of physics to perhaps create world peace?
Yeah, well, I think that the theory of quantum physics is just stating that if one particle, because it's science, is influenced by another particle which is higher in ranking, the lesser structured particle will adapt what the higher structured particle basically taught this lesser structured particle. And even when they separate, the lesser structured particle will act and behave as the higher structured particle. Now, maybe this sounds all fluffy-duffy, but in fact, just to give you a simple example, the same is basically happening with the human mind. Because I think that everybody realizes and understands that some people are more developed than other people. And I don't mean anything bad with that, but some people are intellectual, more developed than other people. And if you, for instance, look at what is happening now with all the terrorists nowadays, you clearly see that the people that are starting those terrorist groups, they're usually one strong character, and he has, people might say, no, he doesn't have the intellectual capacity. Well, he has that intellectual capacity to convince other people that they should do what he is doing. And if you are maybe in a situation, where life is not going so well, or you are very, fragile at that moment, or even when your mind is less developed, you will be influenced by that person and you start to follow that person. I think another good example is Hitler and the Second World War. I live in Europe, in the Netherlands, and Hitler also conquered the Netherlands. My mom was in that war, so I know some about it. But also, it's really amazing because, I don't know in the US if you followed what Hitler did, but basically that guy was able to get an entire nation behind him. And why? Because he was a very well-developed intellectual person, and at that time, it was the time of the crisis. There were a lot of people that lost their jobs. Their mindset was in a very down position, and there he was, spreading some kind of word, influencing them, and getting them behind his ugly dealing. And that is what quantum physics can do. So I thought, well, if it works for the negative side of things. For some reason, you see that the snowball effect with Hitler, you see the snowball effect with terrorist groups or other evil practices. Why can't we apply it for the positive thing? Just like you were saying, I do something nice, somebody else thinks, hey, that's very nice, brighten up his day. That person is doing something nice and it starts to snowball and it can have the same effect. If we all think in love, if we all talk about love, and I'm a very down-to-earth person, so I don't expect everybody suddenly to breathe and talk only in love, but I think that the listeners are getting what I'm trying to say. So it's just change your mindset, change your behavior, and collectively we can change what is happening currently in the world, because physics already demonstrated it's working like that.
I just wrote that down earlier, that if this works for negative purposes, it obviously would work for positive purposes. And I'm thinking about the whole idea of transcendental consciousness. You know, we've got three states of consciousness. We're either awake or we're sleeping and dreaming. And there's another state that they call transcendental consciousness. And that's kind of like that huge relative unconscious thing, you know, it's hard to even describe, but it's something I think if people can all tap into and we've got that energy, because everything after all is energy. And
exactly.
So it can't hurt to put out goodness and kindness instead of what we're seeing today.
Yeah, I actually on my Facebook page, I try every month to put a video together. And there's also a video which is explaining how I vision that we are all energy and the interconnection with the earth. But there are much more videos. You mentioned social media, what it can do. There's a video called I Am Me, which is basically stating, we are born with a certain look. We cannot do anything about it because it's genetically determined. So accept that. And who can tell you who's beautiful or not? It's nonsense. It's something that the media invented and what the magazines invented. And we should never let ourselves lead by that because it leads to terrible things. If you look at social media, we had certain instances, and I'm sure it also happened in the U.S., where very young kids, they really couldn't take it anymore because people were pestering them over the internet, or they placed very ugly pictures there, and everybody started to pee on it. So this person felt really bad, and in the end, he committed suicide. Yeah. How horrible can it be that this can happen? And I really, maybe I'm, I can't find the right word at the moment, but I'm maybe rebelling. But I don't like those things. So in my video, I try to pass messages like people really look at what is happening and take a step back and try to understand what really is happening here. This is like dictated behavior by society. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with what life really is about.
And hopefully it's dictated behavior by a small percentage of society, which it seems like it's the small group, seems to be extremely vocal. I don't think the majority of people want to or like to behave
this
way.
Exactly, and that is the most amazing thing, that a minority of people in the world are dictating how the majority of this world should be living. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying, if this majority of the world is just standing up and just every day think, basically, okay, what can I do today just to make that little change today to contribute to a more positive effect, I think that we stand strong. And it will not go very quickly, but over a certain period of time, we might see change. And we also might see change in the climate as well. Because I think that what we give as energy on this planet to the Earth is giving that back to us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Not only in the way we think, but then our thinking creates actions, and what we are doing to our planet through our actions is that, you know, we are obviously the cause of the natural disasters that are happening. And it seems like it happens to, you know, weaker groups of people, and then they fall apart, and then they're ripe, as you said before, for someone to come in and save the day who may not have positive motives, as we talked about earlier. So, yeah, this is a giant subject, and I'm glad we're at least bringing it to light. I've not had another author or another interview where we talked about this, so I seriously appreciate this opportunity. Thank you. Let's talk about your Lovable Light Initiative. What can people do to get on board with you? What call to action do you have?
Well, my call to action is that I had a different Facebook page for Lovable Light, but for some reason people didn't pick it up. So what I decided is to combine it with my author's page. So on my author's page, as I said, every month I post a video, and that video is centered around a topic that should lead people to, that people are starting to think, and that people are hopefully starting to act on it. So what I really would appreciate if people, well, it would be great if they could follow my page, because then they stay up to date with the videos that I'm posting, but also that they are sharing it, because the more we spread the word to the world, the more people are starting to think. Just to give you an example, when I started in November, when my publisher published the book, I started with only 50 followers on Facebook because basically I didn't do anything. But then I decided to post these videos, and ever since then, already 80,000 people are following me on Facebook, and people are sharing the videos, and I get mails from those people. I get very positive feedback, and people are saying to me, yes, Annelies, this is what we like, and could you please guide us, and could you please indicate what we need to do? And I always say to them, well, please, yeah, look at the videos, and if you feel that the content is also what you feel, just try to distribute it and try to live to it. And that's basically the message that I wanted to pass.
Excellent. So while we're here, tell us where folks can go to find your website, your Facebook, where they can pick up on this.
Well, I'm mentioned as Annelies George Author on Facebook. So it's Facebook and then Annelies George Author. My website is called AnneliesGeorge.com. And the Lovable Light Initiative you can find on lovablelight.com. On the website, you can find also all my videos. And on the Facebook, you can find them as well. And you can also see the comments that people are posting to the videos, because some videos are receiving a lot of thoughts of people around the globe.
So the website is AnneliesGeorge.com, AnnelieS. George, GEORGE, AnneliesGeorge.com. Wow. So tell us before we begin to wrap up, you're working on your third book?
Yep. It's now I'm working already on the fourth book, because the third book is done. But I only send it to the editor when it's my fourth book is finished. Some things could still change. In the third book, the world is going bust in the end. And in the fourth book, it's just the day after the big disaster, and there's only a handful of people left, and they need to see how they can build a living in this new world. And that is where part four and part five are ending.
How exciting for you. You are just so inspiring. I'm loving this conversation that we're having today, but I want to make sure that we didn't miss anything that you wanted to talk about. Is there anything else we should be sharing?
No, I think that we basically shared all. Maybe the only thing that I can say is that the series as such, I try to write it in a fictive way so that people could have an enjoyable story. But of course, there's an underlying message in it. And if you are receptive for it, I think that you will pick it up. And if not, it's just an enjoyable read. On the other side, I'm also working on a non-fiction book, which is called Learn to Understand Your Original Self, where I try to give my vision on life and also the afterlife. So it's another project I'm working on. It is finished because I wrote it in parallel after my father died. It was a bit bizarre that inspiration also came after he passed away. But I think I need to make it a little more understandable, so a bit more readable for people before I will publish it.
All right, so you have plenty to work on, don't you?
I know, but I also have a 40-hour job, a weekly job, and at this moment also a mother to take care of.
And your mom. Yeah, you've got a lot going on. You know what? The busy people stay busy, and it's so inspiring. This has been just a beautiful conversation. Any final words before we say goodbye?
No, I just want to thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you. And I also want to thank the listeners for listening to this interview. And I really do hope that, that they might bring some of the things that we discussed today in practice, because every little bit helps.
Absolutely. And I'm so pleased we had this opportunity. The website is AnneliesGeorge.com. You are a special person, my friend. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you too, Pat.